All right. Praise the Lord. Great singing tonight. And for our final hymn, let's open up to hymn number 259. We'll stand for our final hymn. And yeah, as we're discussing these events taking place in the news and the chaos protests that are ensuing, we realize that the Lord's coming back quickly, and we're on the winning side. We're so thankful for that, and we're so thankful that the Lord loves all people and wants them all to come, if they only will. And we will sing the first, the second, and the fourth of 259. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus so died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, find the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us the Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with the fire from above.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Find the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Find the glory. Revive us again.
Oh, amen. Please be seated, church. I'm so thankful that each and every day we get reviving from the Spirit of God that indwells us. That's why we're able to live this Christian life and keep on going for Jesus Christ. It's because of the daily revival that we receive. You know, I talk about revival. Oh, we've got to have revival. We've got to have a revival. I always say, well, what are you doing now, bud? What do you mean? You're not revived? I mean, there's something wrong if you're not revived daily in your Christian life. But a lot of God's people think we got to wait until three years. You know, Dr. Ruckman's going to come and we'll have revival then. What you going to do in the meantime? Oh, boy. Let's grab our Bibles tonight and praise the Lord. I'm glad that every single day is a good day with Jesus. And let's open up tonight to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're taking a break, of course, from our regular routine of Wednesday night messages from the book of Galatians. We will get back to it. I promise you Galatians will still be there in the Bible. But right now, I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. And recently, I received a credit card in the mail. And, you know, these new credit cards, they're loaded. They're loaded with something. It's called a microchip. And I said, you know what? I want to find out what this thing is. I cut it with a pair of scissors. I opened it up. And I took that little RFID chip, that's a radio frequency identification detector, right out of that thing. It's about yay big. Just like a little tiny centimeter. Just tiny. And you know what? That thing, you carry that thing around in your wallet, your purse, ladies. They know who you are. They know how much money you got in your account. They know everything about you. And I threw that thing. I trashed it quick. Because that's what we're coming to. This new age technological society. They want to monitor everything in our lives. That's part of Antichrist's plan. And people swallowed hook, line, and sinker. Give me a microchip. Give me a credit card with one of those. No, thank you. Now, in Romans chapter 8 tonight,
I want to talk to you on the doctrine of heirship. Heirship. And, you know, Romans chapter 8, to me, is the most important chapter in all the Bible. For the Christian, that is. Not for the lost man, for the Christian. The reason is, folks, that this is the Holy Spirit chapter of the Bible. No less than 21 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans chapter 8. That's by far more than double any other chapter in the Word of God. 21 times. This is the Holy Spirit chapter. And the reason I say it's the most important is because when we come to chapter 6, we get doctrinal information of what Jesus has done for us. We come to chapter 7 and we see the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And we come to chapter 8 and we find the victory in the Holy Spirit. The victory is in the Holy Spirit. But I don't want to speak about that tonight. I want to preach about heirship. Look with me in chapter 8, verse number 12. We'll begin reading in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, saved people, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Using verse 17 as my text tonight, beloved, I want to speak to you on the doctrine of heirship. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight, Lord God of Israel, that thou hast made us who know thy Son heirs, joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God. Lord, we are so filthy rich tonight because of Jesus our Savior. And Lord, the doctrine of heirship is one of incredible value to the New Testament believer, knowing whose we are and who we are and what we are in Him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for granting us heirship with the King. Lord, in preaching this message just boggles my mind that it's actually true. How blessed we are. We ask your blessings upon your holy word. Enlighten our eyes by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ our Lord's name, amen. Amen. Beloved, Spurgeon once said, this chapter of Romans is like the Garden of Eden, which had all manner of delights in it. John Bunyan said, if a gospel preacher was shut up and only allowed to preach from the 8th of Romans, he would have a subject which could last him his entire lifetime. Wycliffe said, every line of the chapter affords unlimited sermons. Luther said, Romans 8 is an inexhaustible mine of spiritual wealth waiting to be dug up. So, beloved, let us look within the veil this evening. And let us examine the golden nugget of heirship. Now, heirship, listen, heirship, according to Noah Webster, is the state, character, or privileges of a legal heir. Heirship is the judicial right of inheritance. So, when we talk about heirship as a born-again Christian, we're talking about the legal right that you have in the scope of eternity future through the King of Kings. Now, I want us to glean four specific facts tonight concerning the doctrine of heirship. First, we'll notice the ground of heirship. I want you to notice first the ground of heirship. Look with me in verse 17. We'll keep coming back to it. He says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Notice here, in verse number 17, the little two-letter word, if. Oh, yes, indeed, beloved. This little word is very important in our text. God said, if you are children of His, you are heirs with His Son. Did you know, brethren, that the God of this Bible does not believe in the universal brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God? He doesn't. I'm here to tell you tonight that the God of Genesis chapter 1 put a division, a difference between His children and Adam's children. They're not the same. Paul says this ground of heirship does not come from ordinary creation. It does not say if creatures. No. It says if children, then heirs. There's a ground of heirship and it's new birth. Neither does it come from natural descent. It does not say if descendants of Abraham, then heirs. Nor does it come from meritorious service. It does not say if servants, then heirs. Nor does it come from ceremonial observances. It does not say if baptized, if circumcised, if church member, then heirs. No. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is my Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, present tense, the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Beloved, the Bible makes it so clear that there's only one requirement for heirship, becoming a child of God. And He's made it so easy to become a child of God through His Son's finished atoning work. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Look in Romans chapter 9 at verse number 6. Paul writes, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now notice in verse 6 that there's two Israels, and they're all Jewish. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Neither because they are the seed, physical seed, of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now notice here that Paul is making it clear that just because you are born of a certain ethnicity, that does not make you a child of God. Nobody is born a child of God. Only those who are born again are children of God. In verse 6 there's two Israels. There's the Israel of God. They're not, that's not the church. Galatians 6, verse 17, the Israel of God is separated from the church in the preceding verse. The Israel of God is Jewish people who are saved, born again. That's the Israel of God. Then the Israel, looking at verse 6 again, before we move on, I want to clear this up. Verse 6, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Paul says, you can be a physical Jew and not part of the Israel of God. That's the remnant. The Israel of God is the remnant of Jewish true believers. Now, not getting off track here, back to our text. Verse 17, if children, then heirs. The ground of heirship, beloved, is only obtained by regeneration. Spiritual adoption, being born of the Spirit of God and becoming one of the children of God. Dr. Candlish once proclaimed, as justification is union and communion with Jesus Christ in His righteousness, and sanctification is union and communion with Jesus Christ in His holiness, so adoption must be held to be union and communion with Jesus Christ in His sonship. Amen? Listen to what he said. Adoption is union and communion with Jesus Christ in His sonship. You are co-heirs with Christ. This, beloved, is indeed the only true ground of heirship, our sonship with Jesus Christ. For the apostle says, if children of God, then heirship comes. Amen? It's so good, so clear. Secondly, tonight, quickly, notice the universality of heirship. Not only the ground of heirship, but notice the universality of heirship. Back to our text, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, plural. Heirs, plural, of God. and joint heirs, plural, with Christ. Now, beloved, I'm so glad tonight that heirship is available to all people of all nations of the earth. It doesn't matter where one is born. Heirship is a worldwide, universal offer made to every person on planet Earth. He didn't say, if children, then heir. No. It's, if children, then heirs. Plural. There's a whole bunch of us who have heirship. Because we have received, lovingly, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe, we've received him as our Savior. And we've become joint heirs with Christ. Look in chapter 3 of Galatians. Hold your place in Romans. We're coming back, of course. Galatians chapter 3. Here we'll see it quite clearly. What makes us heirs? And what is the universality of heirship? What's that mean? Look with me in verse 26 of Galatians 3. But Jerusalem, chapter 3, I'll get there. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Notice the universality of heirship in verse 29. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you're born again. You are the spiritual, not physical. A lot of Christians are so messed up on that. You are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Okay? And you are joint heirs with him of this heirship in God. It's a beautiful thing. Revelation 5:9, don't turn there. John writes, and they sung a new song. This is what they sing in heaven. Listen. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation, and hast made us kings and priests unto our God. Wow. Notice all of the us's and ours in that verse. That's what they sing in heaven. Why? Because of the universality of heirship. It's not confined to the Catholic Church. It's not confined to the Presbyterian Church. It's not confined to KJV Bible Baptist Church in Hooksett, New Hampshire. It's universal. It's for all those who will receive it. Worldwide. I'm so glad of that. It's the universality of heirship that we preach. Go to Ephesians quickly. Before we move on, I want you to see a really important passage here. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm so glad it's not confined to the Jewish nation alone anymore. Amen? The offer is universal. Look at it. Verse 12. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, ye Gentiles were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both, Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh, Gentiles and Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye Gentiles are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. He points to all true believers all over the world from every nation and says, you all are the house, the universal household of God. Isn't that beautiful? It's universal. Winston Churchill was known for his great sayings. And just after London was saved from complete destruction by an enemy invasion, Churchill said to his Royal Air Force, which saved the day, never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few. He was speaking to the pilots. But beloved, he was wrong. And I say unto you tonight, never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to just one. That is the Son of God. Why? Because of the universality of airship. I'm so glad I can go to any person and offer them the airship of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, tonight, we've seen the ground of airship. We've seen clearly that it's universal. But thirdly, notice the great subject of airship. What is the great object or subject of airship? Go back to our text, Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 17. He says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of who? God. God. Church, I beg you to listen to me now. The Holy Spirit, here in verse 17, tells us through the apostle's pen just exactly what the great subject or object of heirship really is. Verse 17. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Here is the good news. You're not just any ordinary heir. You are an heir of God. God, the maker of all. Listen carefully. Heirship has one single glorious intent and purpose. That is that all those who have legal ground for heirship by having become children of God by divine birth into his family may one day receive the supreme subject of heirship as their personal, eternal, and unchangeable inheritance. That is God himself. In his immediate presence. Indescribable glory. That's Lord the Father. That's Jesus the Son. That's Christ the Holy Spirit. The great three in one. He alone is the great object of heirship. And he is what makes heirship so precious. Beloved, listen to me. It's not the glorious rewards we'll receive. It's not the wonderful golden streets and pearly gates and angels singing in heaven. It's the object of our heirship that makes it so precious. It's God himself. Because he owns everything in the universe. Everything in the universe is yours. Listen, we're heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 14. What are we heirs of? First, we're heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 14, we read, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be what? Shall be what? Heirs of what? Salvation. Heirs of salvation. That's Hebrews 1, 14. Sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. First thing we're heir of is salvation. Something else. We're heirs of eternal life. Go to Titus chapter 3. We're heirs of eternal... You're going to like these. Trust me. They're awesome. In Titus chapter 3. Look with me at verse 7. Verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made what? Heirs. According to the hope of eternal life. We are heirs of salvation from sin, and we're now heirs of eternal life in glory with Jesus Christ. Amen? It's forever. Thirdly, we're heirs of promise. Back to Hebrews. One page ahead, you'll be there. Hebrews chapter 6. We are heirs of promise. Look with me in Hebrews 6 at verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the what? Heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. We are heirs of his promise that he promised us the Holy Spirit and eternal life through Jesus Christ his Son. He promised us a heaven, a home, a mansion above. We're also heirs of the grace of life. 1 Peter, flip back from I'd rather flip ahead from Hebrews 6 to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're heirs of the grace of life. Chapter 3, look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your Christian wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, men, as unto the weaker vessel. Keep that in mind, men. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He says, you are heirs of the grace of life. I'm so glad I've received grace. We're heirs of righteousness. Back to Hebrews. Heirs of righteousness, chapter 11. Oh, this part's really good. Because you could not make yourself righteous. Neither could I. We're heirs of it. Look at it, Hebrews 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, beloved, you are an heir, an inheritor of the righteousness which is of faith, which is Jesus Christ. You've inherited an eternal righteousness into your soul. What an heirship we have. Something else. We're heirs of a kingdom. James. Flip forward to James chapter 2. We're heirs of a kingdom. And I like it because it's celestial, not terrestrial. Look with me in James 2 verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Answer, yes. Yes, he has. I'm so glad he has. And I'm so glad that you and I, church tonight, are heirs of that glorious kingdom of heaven. Because we're heirs of God, it means that we are heirs of all that God possesses. We are heirs of God's love, for God is love. We are heirs of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. We are heirs of God himself. Oh, what an infinite portion is ours. Oh, what an heirship we possess tonight. Revelation chapter 21. Just go to the last page of your Bible, you'll make it there. In Revelation chapter 21, second to final chapter of the Bible. It must be important what he says. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. We are heirs of God according to verse 7. Heirs of all things. Why? Because God is my father and he owns everything. That makes me his son and inheritor of everything. But hint, I don't want everything. I want him. I don't want everything. I want him. It's not the glories of heaven that we desire. It's the King of heaven. He is what makes heaven heaven, not the things contained therein. Okay, we've seen the ground of heirship, if children of God. We've seen the universality of heirship. It's universal. We've seen the great subject of heirship. It's God himself. But one last thing we need to see concerning heirship, and I'll be done. Notice the personal partnership of heirship. The personal partnership of heirship in our text, Romans 8. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow! Did you hear what the apostle said just there? Not only are we heirs of God, but we are joint heirs, partner heirs with Jesus Christ. Now listen closely, church, in closing. Paul tells us by the Holy Ghost here that God the Father has elevated us to such a degree that he now counts us as heirs, that is joint heirs, with his only begotten Son. I hope somebody's getting this. Hebrews chapter 1. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1. He counts you as dear to himself as Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus Christ owns, and that is everything, is yours. Look at it. In Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, what? Heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I like that. By the way, he also made everything that exists. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I love it. People, listen carefully. This verse tells us clearly why we are presently seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because he is heir of all things. Because he did what no other man could ever do. He purged our sins. Now, this personal partnership of heirship between us and the Son of God is the true test of our heirship. For we cannot be heirs except with Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. You cannot bypass God's Son and be an heir of God. Did you see what it said in verse 2? Whom he, the Father, hath appointed heir of all things. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ is heir of all things, how can I be an heir of all things? I'm glad you asked. There's only one way. You'd have to be in him. And you are. You are seated together with him. This personal partnership with Jesus Christ sweetens our heirship. This personal partnership with Jesus Christ ensures it to us forever. This personal partnership with Jesus Christ endears his mediation to us. This personal partnership with Jesus Christ binds us closer to him each and every day. Oh, it's a glorious thing. Two things I want you to observe in closing, beloved, and I'll be done. First, from verse 17, let us joyfully accept present sufferings with Jesus Christ because it is a part of heirship. Look at verse 17, Romans 8, verse 17. I said suffering is a part of heirship. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we... I knew he was going to preach on that. No, it's a part of your heirship. If so be that we suffer with him. You see that? Beloved, I'm not going to preach to you a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that has no blood atonement, no spiritual regeneration, no eternal life. I'm going to preach to you the true gospel. And it involves some suffering for Jesus Christ. But it is worth it. Amen? The suffering is worth it. This is a vital part of heirship that most of God's people don't want to acknowledge. But something else we must observe in closing tonight concerning heirship. Not only is suffering a part of it, but let us look forward with great anticipation to the ultimate glorification, which is sure to follow. Verse 17, he says, and if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh boy, this is getting good. This, our message tonight, is heirship. We, because of our heirship, the ground, if children, the universality, all the world, all who will receive. Listen, the personal partnership of it with Christ. Watch what he says. That, here's why we've got heirship, that we may be also glorified together. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. When you and I make it up yonder and we're glorified with Christ forever, we're going to be dancing on streets of gold. We're going to be singing hallelujah to the King. It's going to be glorious. Now, go with me to verse 31. We'll finish up. Now that we have heirship, what next? Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why would he give us all things? It's because of heirship. But let me give you this and I'll be done. Oh, beloved, in 1962, in Charleston, South Carolina, there was an elderly judge who was a strong Christian. He lay in a hospital bed dying. His pastor came to pray with him one last time before his departure to glory. The judge turned to the pastor and said, "Preacher, do you know enough about law to understand what is meant by joint tenancy?" "Well, no," said the pastor. I know nothing about law." "Well," said the judge, "if you and I were joint tenants on a farm, I could not say to you that half of the cornfield was yours and this half of the cornfield is mine. Because by the law of joint tenancy, we would have to share and share alike in everything on the farm. And as I have been lying here, I've just realized with unspeakable joy that Jesus Christ has made me a joint tenant with himself, and that everything that he has is mine too. And we will share alike through all eternity." And with that, the old judge took his final breath with a great smile on his face. You know what? That old Christian judge understood the doctrine of heirship. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that like the judge, we also are joint heirs with Christ. Yea, heirs of God. And Lord, how we thank you most of all. The one point that stands out to me in tonight's message is the subject of heirship. It's the living God. The living God, all those who are joint heirs with Christ will enjoy him forevermore. In glory above. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Lord, thank you tonight for the doctrine of heirship from the scripture which cannot lie. We are so confident tonight in our standing before thee because of Jesus Christ, our joint heir. Thank you for heirship, Father. We love you for it, and help us to shout it from the rooftops before it's too late, that we might bring some souls with us to glory, that they too may become joint heirs with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand. We'll close it out tonight with a final hymn of invitation. I want us to sing hymn 33. Why? Because the devil hates this hymn. Hymn 130. This is, I think he hates this old hymn of the faith more than any other. I really do. Because that's where the power is, in the blood of Jesus. We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth of 130.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? Hey, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you all evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is, for there is power, power, the working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. From your passionate pride.
Amen!
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side.
Yes!
There's wonderful power in his blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you
servant for Jesus your King.
Yes,
there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in his blood.
Everybody now!
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the bread.
Indeed, church. So glad for that precious power in the blood tonight. Well, Sunday we have a great day planned. If you can join us 10:30 a.m. and then, of course, at 6, we'll be back in our studies of the 8 mysteries of the New Testament. Well, Father, how we thank you for a great service tonight. Just so good for a midweek service to come out from the hustle and bustle of the work week, to get together with the saints of God and to shout glory to God. We're so grateful for this church, Lord. Families you've provided. And Lord, thank you for keeping the doors open. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We have never missed a missionary payment, a monthly missionary support check. We are so thankful, Lord. That is because of your faithfulness to us. And Father, we pray that in the days and weeks and months ahead, if you should tarry your coming, that many more will come and join us here at KJV Bible Baptist Church, that we might support more missionaries around the globe, that more souls would become joint heirs with Christ. We thank you for all you're going to do. Be with us throughout this week. Bring us back Sunday. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church.